Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Oh, we're here with the Home Improvement Show. A little out of breath. We just both ran upstairs. 906. Ken Connor is alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Did you already notice a lot of water on the roads with the drive-in?
It was water, traffic, detours. We got it all. typical Montreal morning. Yeah. The orange cones and everything else.
I'm telling you, yeah. In my neck of the woods in the Ville Saint-Laurent on Henri Bourassa, outside my neighborhood, it's a sea of orange. It's a sea of orange.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. There's those roads that I've seen the same cones for the last 4 years.
I know. If those cones could talk, the stories they would tell, the complaints we would hear. Abandonment. 907. You want to talk to Walter? You want to pick his brain? You have something you need to talk about? Maybe you need a little guidance with a problem at home? Just call 514-790-0800. I talked earlier this morning with a landscaper from Sources Nursery about getting the garden ready for winter. And of course, this time of year, you want to get the house ready for winter. Make sure the windows are closing properly, right? Keep some of that cold air out.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find most commonly forgotten when you winterize your home is a lot of people forget their hoses hooked up to their exterior faucets. Mm. And that's really, really bad.
We just had the guy come over this week to close up the system, you know, and get the water out.
That's right. Yeah. That's what you want to do. And make sure the irrigation system is closed. that's often also forgotten. Your gutters, caulking, sump pump, and great operational. Yesterday we got a call of a client that have a clogged pipe in the sump pump. Now, it's great now. We can still excavate. But imagine if this happens in the dead of the winter. You can't do that. The ground is frozen, so that's why I'm saying it's very important that you look at these things now and don't wait for the last minute, because now you still have a good window to do it before the ground is frozen. Anything that is intrusive, that requires excavation, it's now or never type of thing. Mm.
If you want to talk to Walter, you can also text in at 514-800, but the phone is great if you want to come on the air and say hi and talk to Walter directly at 514-790-0800. What is Renovco busy with these days?
All kind of things, really. There is a misconception about renovations that they only get done in the spring or in the summer. Fall is extremely busy for us. As a matter of fact, a lot of people prefer fall for renovations.
Why?
Because the kids are back in school.
Okay.
And, they don't entertain as much. And so, you know, it's...
Vacations are done with, too.
That's right. Yeah. And it's a good Christmas gift to have people over for Christmas within your kitchen or in your bathroom.
Want to show something new off, family right? Room.
That's right. Exactly. So, you know, and, it doesn't... The word, this is a renovation season and not a season, for us, doesn't really exist anymore, because we are renovating in the winter as much as we are renovating in the spring and the summer. Matter of fact, I find it's better and smarter to renovate off season, because people are usually less busy. So the workers are less stressed out. The materials is usually cheaper. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you're going to get to the summer, when the weather is nice, you don't have to deal with the renovation. You know, what else are you doing in the winter? You're cooped up at home and not doing much anyways. So it's a win-win in the same time. And you're not, it's supply and demand. In the summer, the materials go higher because there's more demand on them. So you're actually getting better pricing as well.
I still have people in my neighborhood getting the roofs done.
Yeah, well, look, roofs...
They'll go as far as what, the snowfall?
Well, you know, usually they shut off their season end of October, beginning November. When you start seeing frost on the ground, because that's when the shingles really become very very rigid, and they don't like that. The shingles, it's not good for the shingles or the glue on the shingles. Hmm. So that's why usually unless it's really, really urgent, they can spread it a bit further in November. But technically, it's not a great idea.
Mm. There's someone else in my neighborhood. It looks like adding a bit of an extension on their home. And that's something we've talked about before, where you always have to check with your borough, I think, right?
For an extension, you need to have a permit, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
The permit has to be extremely detailed. And so before you actually, what you need to do is you need to get your architect to go visit the borough, because each borough is different. Mm. There's the, you have to bring your certificate of location. There is a calculation to be done on the square footage of the land versus the amount of square footage that your home occupy. And there's a formula that they do, because each borough have a different percentage that you're allowed to build on versus the size of your lot. Mm. So that's where you will really start to know how big your extension could be, or if you have space to build an extension.
From the text line, Pat just sent in a suggestion, a reminder. It says, hi, guys. Before you put away that hose for the winter, clean the outside of the heat pump and get rid of dirt before heating season.
Yeah, that's another very great idea. Right. It is, actually.
Again, from the text line, let me see if I can decipher this for you. It's a backyard chain link fence, green chain link fence, and but they're looking at maybe just changing the gate. Because it, you know, it'll look better from the road, the curb appeal, I guess, okay, of the house, right? Just any advice about that in terms of just putting a brand new gate on the on, I guess, on each side of the house? Here it says,
yes, that's a, what I would recommend in this case to go with aluminum type gates. They
just
look
for
nice. They look like ornamental. They look like fer forgé. They look like ornamental wrought iron, but they're really made in aluminum, so you don't have to maintain them. And because it's just the gate area, it's not that expensive. Plus, they're right. It gives a great curb appeal without having to pay a crazy price.
I was just thinking about this. If I was going to do this at my house, I'd have to check with my neighbor on each side, I guess. Not check with them, but see if they wanted it, you know, because it'll look kind of, you know, you'll have a brand new gate and they still have the old gate. Maybe they'd want to go in with you on the,
well,
on the project.
The gate is not really, because usually the gate is separated by that fence. So you could do whatever you want on your side as far as the gate is concerned. It's really the fence that you would have to discuss with them about, and that's where it gets to be very touchy.
I'm thinking, though, maybe getting a better deal if my neighbor's going to go in.
100%. But you're going to have all your three neighbors, the one on each side and then the one in the...
Call a meeting. 514-790-0800. If you want to talk to Walter, he's here for the full hour. This is a great opportunity. Maureen, is that you?
Yes.
Hi, Maureen.
Good morning. I'm trying to find someone to do a patio, a fiberglass patio, and it's very difficult. We tried all summer, and all we have is our back to the wall. Can you give some help?
What do you mean you have back to the wall? I don't understand the question.
We're not getting anyone. We found someone, and he says he's going to do it. He's going to come, and he get us back and forth. And it's winter coming now, and it's still the same. He's not answering when we call.
Okay, so when you say fiberglass patio, do you mean fiberglass floors?
Floors, yeah.
Okay. And who have you been calling to help you out with that?
I called so many different numbers and company, and only one. They have some in Montreal, but they're not coming on the South Shore. There's only one guy that we found on the South Shore, and he seems to be very reluctant.
Okay. So what you would really need to research is railing companies. Okay. So all the companies that do aluminum railing, stairs, exterior stairs, spiral stairs, these are the guys that you want to call. And you're right, Maureen, a lot of them work by territory. So if they are in Montreal, they don't go to the South Shore. If they are in Laval, they don't go to Montreal, and so on and so forth. So the best for you to do is to research these types of companies. There's no sense for you to call necessarily a general contractor for this, because what they usually end up doing is subcontracting to guys like this. Now, so you want to focus on these types. There are different companies. There's Caruso that does this. You know, there's Allium as well that does this. But again, I'm not sure if they do a Saint-Hubert area. If they don't, they might direct you who to call when you call them.
Okay.
But what's important is to focus on these types of trades. The problem is when you call the wrong type of trade, you get this false sense of desperation, only because if I'm a general contractor and you're only doing a fiberglass patio, you know, I'm not really interested to do this job because, you know, it's not in my sphere of expertise, if you wish. So, mm-hmm. you know,
the patio is already in fiberglass. So I don't know if we should change or try to find someone to do the same type of work, you know, because it's so tough.
Okay. Why are you changing it if it's already in fiberglass?
Well, I'm not changing it, but we're not finding anybody to do it.
Okay, but do what? You're saying it is already in fiberglass. Is it because the fiberglass is old?
Like, what? Why do you want to make the change, Maureen?
Yes, right why? Now what happened, the fiberglass, it's the guy came and he said, you have to change the whole thing. They have to take out everything and put back new fiberglass. But then he's not coming.
Okay. Let me ask you, is the fiberglass in one piece or in two pieces?
It's in one piece.
Okay, and how big is the area approximately?
It's 10 by 12.
10 by 12, okay. So, I mean, again, it's a question of just calling railing companies, try Caruso, try Allium, and if they don't do your area, you could call, you could ask them to direct you in the right place.
Maureen, we have to go. Thanks. Good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
514-790-0800.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
We've got Mary and Andre on the phone waiting to talk to you, but do you mind if I throw a text or two at you?
Of course.
Just knock these off the list here. Please ask Walter who I could call to replace outdoor exhaust vents. Vents, excuse me. It says, I own a 40-year-old building and all the original plastic vents are cracking and breaking and no one can tell me what kind of contractor I need to call and have them replaced. Could you help me? That is from Deanna.
So, I mean, the ventilation companies might be able to assist you with that, or really any general contractor. The only issue that, you know, with these types of jobs is it's height. So they need to have, depending on how high we're going, you either need a scaffolding or you need, you know, tall ladders or skyjacks in certain cases. So, you know, if you have a four-floor type building, then you definitely need to look into renting a skyjack. And maybe that's one way to entice the contractors to come, because usually the height factor for them is a hindrance. If you tell them, look, I have a skyjack that I'm renting for this or something like that, then that will encourage them to come and do the job. But usually a ventilation company should be able to assist with that.
Right. 514-790-0800 if you want to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco. Andre, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk about that chimney issue.
Okay, situation. I have an old building. It's was built in the 1900s.
Okay.
And it's a three-story building, which has had a chimney. It's still there, but we're not using it. I was using it a couple of years ago because I had a gas furnace in the basement, and we ran a pipe to the chimneys to exit the gases.
Yeah.
Now I replaced the furnace, and now we've changed the exiting pipes. They don't go through the chimney anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't need it. So what's the how do I close it? I want to cap it and to avoid cold air coming down all the way down to the walls and all the way to the basement. So do I cap it? Put some insulation on top? Leave it open in the basement? That's my question, because I don't want the brick to deteriorate and start crumbling.
Tell them about the water treatment.
And I also have some piping that's next door to the chimney. And, you know, the building in those days, the piping is not insulated. So the fact that there was some heat going through the chimney, the pipes would not freeze. But I'm worried that they could freeze now.
It's a tough one when you want to cap a chimney.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to cap it from the top as well in this case.
That's right, from the roof. Yes,
from the roof. That will be your first most important thing to do, so you'd avoid all the downdraft.
Okay.
Now from the bottom, the easiest way for you to deal with this is by buying something called a chimney balloon.
Okay.
So it's something you buy and it kind of blows up and you put it and it kind of seals that area in place so it avoids any additional downdrafts. But having said that, I'm just kind of worried about all these pipes that are very close to your chimney. That doesn't, for me, I'm not following how they would have done that. And how, are these pipes accessible at all?
Well, they are on the second floor. See, also the building is a, it's an older building, you know, 1900s. They were either bricks only or wood outside. Okay. Mine has only three layers of bricks, and there's no wood frame, if you want.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So between that, beside that chimney, we're running the older pipes, which are not insulated, and I never had a freezing problem, but I had last year. We changed the furnace, and one of the pipes between these second and third floor froze.
Okay. So the area where we have the accessible pipes, what we could do, and I would encourage you to do, is you put that pipe foam or the pipe insulation around it. It's like a sleeve, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's a trick to that, and most people don't follow that trick. The sleeve is like semicircular, right? It doesn't close completely the loop.
Yeah, I know. I've used them before.
Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to ensure that it is that the opening is on the warm side of the room.
The inside.
Okay. Correct. And you don't seal that because a lot of them, what they try to do, they try to seal it and close it off. Don't. The warm side, you want it to be exposed so it can get the warm air that's coming from the room and warming up these pipes. Mm-hmm. So in any area that is exposed, let's do that. And then just make sure that you keep on monitoring it as it goes. But the fact that it's on the second floor might actually help because that's where the first, if you want, that's where probably be the coldest part before it goes down further. So if you can catch it from the top, it's a good thing.
Okay.
Okay.
So that would help putting that foam around the pipes.
100%. That would help. Specifically, if you do it the way I told you. If you don't, then you know you might run into problems. But if you do it this way, it will tremendously help.
Well, the other thing I wanted to do is that I have access to the pipe because between the second and third floor, the pipe are like in a corner, and there's a like a wooden door. It's not a door really; it's only about a foot wide, and you can take it off, and that's where the pipes are. So what I want to do is put that foam. And maybe make some holes in that wall, not wall, in that door to have some, because I have a heater on that. That's the, it's not the floor, it's the landing, if you want, on the second floor between the second and third.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to make some holes so there's ventilation or heat that goes from my heater goes onto that pipe. You think that's a good solution?
Andre, we're just going to pause for a sec because we have to get to news, but we'll just pick this up and let Walter respond to that point in just a couple of minutes. Can you hold?
Sounds good.
Yes. All right. Don't go anywhere. It's time for news and we'll come back with more on the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Answering your calls and your questions is Walter Assey from Renovco at 514-790-0800. We're just going to wrap up with Andre before we move on. Andre, you still there, I hope?
Still here.
All right, very good. Where did we leave off?
You wanted to drill some holes in the door frame. Is that what I understood from you?
So well,
you
can guess? It's not a frame. It's really a door. It's like a panel, but it's made like a door. The building is 125 years old, so I still kept the look from the old time.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's a panel. It's a door that you can remove. It's a paneling door that you can remove from the corner of the wall. That's where the pipes are. And that's my floor to ceilings are 10 feet. So you can remove that panel completely, and you have access to the pipes.
Okay.
That's what I meant. And I wanted to make two holes into that paneling so the air, the warm air coming from the landing would go in there and also help to heat the pipes.
I mean, okay, it's an option. It's maybe not the most cosmetically pleasing option you can have.
Mm-hmm.
One other way that might be more interesting for you and possibly betterly cosmetically nice to look at would be to have some type of louvered panel.
Okay.
You know those louvered doors?
Yeah.
So that will probably at least not kill your look, your cosmetic look, and at the same time, it gives you that continuous flow inside the wall. So instead of having those sporadic holes here and there,
mm-hmm.
this one will really get the hot air in. Mm. And if you combine that with the sleeve, the plumbing sleeve, the pipe sleeve, then that should work.
Okay.
Remember, the idea behind, I mean, most of the time why pipes leak is because we have some type of a draft. We don't have adequate vapor barrier. Sometimes we have insulation, but the vapor barrier is not well done, or it's not well sealed, or not well taped, or a lot of the times they use the wrong tape on the vapor barrier. So that's really your worst enemy when it comes to freezing pipe. When you put the sleeve around, you're going to kind of shield that pipe from that airflow, if you wish, that cold air coming in. Mm-hmm. And if you put a louvered panel and you have some warm air coming in from the to the inside of the cavity, then, you know, that will tremendously help for sure.
Another question I have for you, between the pipe and the brick, like I told you, it's a three brick wall. There's no wood at all outside. Should I be putting some insulation on the outside part? Well, between the pipe and the brick is what I mean.
When you say insulation, that's all going to boil down to what's the space we're talking about.
Well, we're talking inches, you know, like a couple of inches.
Okay. So I would definitely, in this case, the only choice you would have is urethane. Right?
Right.
So I would do that to kind of, it's not necessarily going to work as well in the sense that, you know, an exterior wall would have to be completely insulated for it to work well. So you'll still have the drafts. But what that will do is will kind of cut the, if you want, the direct contact of the cold and the pipe. So the fact that, you know, you're kind of making a barrier between the brick and the pipe will help. Just make sure that you put your sleeve first and then you urethane, because if you do it the other way around, it's not going to work very well for you afterwards. Now you have the space. So you install the urethane, the sleeve, then urethane around it, and try to go as high as possible to the rim joists, because that's usually your weakest point, and that's the one that brings in the most amount of air.
Well, yeah, that's what I figured. The gear is coming in between the floors, because there's some, like, the other question I had for you is I said I was going to cap the top of the chimney.
Yeah.
And but my chimney exceeds the roof almost 8 to 10 feet. So should I put some insulation from the cap to the roof inside the chimney to stop the cold from coming down?
The way that this is only going to work is if you do it really where your roof meets your lower floor. Anything you do above that is not going to help tremendously, because most of the air is going to come through your bricks. Most of the cold is going to come through your bricks. So if you are not doing it below roof level, you're not gaining much. Now, one other thing you could do, because it seems to be like a thorn in your back, that chimney, is you could demolish that stack one day and go, and you could stop really where the roof line is, or just below the roof line, and then cap it there. You don't necessarily need to demolish it the whole way down, and you just patch the roof in that location. That will really kind of, if you want, eliminate all problems for you and downdrafts and what have you. That is maybe a longer term solution. But try the simpler ones that we talked about first, because obviously they're a lot less costly and it's worth for you to try. Do not attempt to insulate anything from the cap down. It will be a waste of money. You could do it, but it's not going to do much.
And from the basement, you suggested to put that balloon there. I was thinking of leaving it open so the heat would go up the chimney, because the coal goes down, the heat goes up. And but you're suggesting to close it completely.
I mean, I don't see anything good coming out from that except getting downdrafts. I mean, or cold air coming in. It's just gonna, you know, you could try it, but I mean, it's gonna be just a cold area where a lot of the air is gonna escape. If you're just doing it for the plumbing pipes, it might help, but it's not gonna help with your energy bill. That's for sure.
Well, Andre, I hope that was some help for you this morning.
Yes, it did. So thank you very much for the info.
All right. Good luck with the project.
Thanks a lot.
514-790-0800 to talk to Walter on the air about the issue you have at home. If you want to get some expert advice, he's here for the full hour, just as Andre and Mary enjoyed there in the Point St. Charles area. From the text line, Walter, I had the shower head and a leaking hot water shower faucet changed, and now I can hear water running behind the shower faucets when they're turned off. The handyman says he'll return and try to fix the problem. In the meantime, I've turned off the main water supply to the house. Could you please advise? Love the show. That's from Lena.
Okay, so that's not a good sign usually when we hear this hissing noise or, you know, any type of noise coming from the plumbing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a leak somewhere. When you change a faucet, usually you want to open the water and keep it open for a while before you, before the plumber or the handyman in this case leaves. That's why when it comes to plumbing per se, I always encourage people to call a master plumber. Electricity and plumbing are two things that could potentially destroy your house if not done right. And it gets worse if you're going to make a claim and tell them, you know, I didn't hire a master plumber.
Joe came over and did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll save a couple of bucks, but really we might potentially pay thousands of dollars instead. There's probably a leak somewhere. So the guy would need to come back, preferably in this case. I won't get the same guy in because he caused the problem. I would definitely call a plumber and get him to fix the leak. You definitely have a leak. So yes, keep the water shut off. Do not wait for the handyman to come and fix it. Get a plumber.
There you go. Lena, good luck. Hope you heard that. It's 9:45.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio. CJAD 800.
And this is our expert, Walter Assey from Renovco, here every Saturday morning between 9 and 10 o'clock. And you can talk to him. Reach out right now at 514-790-0800. Do you have a question? Like this person from the text line says, guys, where can I get the air deflectors that mount on top of the heat pumps?
Okay, so that is a good question. You can get them usually. What you need to do is you need to get them from the companies that sold you the heat pumps, because there's different measurements, right? Another thing you could do is you could have it welded yourself, meaning if you have a welder and you could actually just, it's a question of getting one leg of metal and you cut it into four pieces and then you have a flashing on top. It's a bit of a DIY project. If not really, if you have a Lennox, you see if they have any gadgets. The guys that sold you the system usually will direct you in the right place. Because, again, it's especially now, you have the vertical ones, you have the horizontal ones, you have different sizes, how many tons, this and that. One of the places you could check if they have any in stock would be Amazon. If you have the serial number, sometimes you'll be lucky and you'll find a few like that.
All right. One more quick one, Walter, if you don't mind. Looking for the best way to a do-it-yourself insulation, the rim joist in the basement. And it says here it's an unfinished basement, so I have easy access.
So you go to any of the big box store, they do sell those urethane kits, do-it-yourself urethane kits. So... It's two tanks of insulation, and it comes with a disposable gun, the urethane gun, and you do it this way. You know, it's not per se because it's not a finished basement, there's not much science to it. What I will do is I will do a couple of practice runs before I go crazy with it, because if you don't know what you're doing, you might spray too much and then realize that you wasted a lot of the material needlessly. Wait for it to expand.
Very good. One other thing I was going to bring up, too, when it comes to getting the house ready for winter, I mean, we talked about cleaning your gutters. Do you look for any air leaks maybe in the attic?
Is definitely a thing, and it's a very important thing, and it's not to be underestimated. When you have any leaks in the attic, that will lead to condensation. I mean, it's pure science. You have the hot air from the house meeting the cold air from the attic, and that's pretty much how rain is formed, right? So you have condensation, which will create your mold. It will create ice damming, because what happens, you're going to have all that heat escaping, which is going to allow the snow on your roof to melt at a much faster pace, bringing it all to the end of your roof. The snow accumulates at that particular area, which forms your ice damming. Typically, ice on your roof, if you have a healthy attic, the snow remains, does not melt quickly. Mm. That's how you know. It acts as a nice shield for you. So it's a good thing when you have, sometimes we get called, the snow is not melting from my roof. That's actually a good thing. That means you don't have any heat escaping, and that snow now is acting as an extra insulator for you. Where you start worrying is when it's melting way too fast than your neighbors, and you see that all this ice forming on the perimeters. That's where we'd have ice damming, and that's where you have water backing up under the shingles, and you have all kind of water damages. So again, that's something that you should do now. Do not wait until the water damage occurs. And it's easily solvable. You just need, sometimes it's just a question of a few more inches of insulation, blown insulation. Within a couple of hours, it's done.
I guess this is a text along the same lines, Walter, about just a concern over having single pane windows and the difference between a single pane and a double pane when it comes to keeping the cold out in the winter.
Big difference.
Yeah.
A double pane, you will get, you could get a low E argon as well, which will keep the heat in the winter and the cold in the summer, which is a big component when you have a window composition. The draft, the energy efficiency is day and night, even the noise levels day and night. So there's no question, there's no saving that will justify for you to go with a single pane window. No savings.
All right. And one final question, Walter, do you have an appointment already to put your winter tires on? Because the weather here in Montreal, it can change in a day.
I'm kind of a last minute type of a guy. I like to wait till the end of November, beginning December.
The edge.
Yeah, I live on the edge.
That's Walter Ranzi from Renovco. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Home Improvement Show. And if you have a car question, Walter can't help. Well, he could help you, but he's got to go. Lisa Christensen will hang on to those calls and serve up some great advice between 10 and 11. Have a great day. Stay safe.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Walter from Renovco. Jimmy, thank you as always. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, as of 6 o'clock on Weekends with Ken. Don't go anywhere. News is standing by here on CJAD 800.